I am not defeated tonight. I am not cast out. I am not destroyed. But I am raised up, built up. Hallelujah. I'm raised up to be something different. I'm raised up to be what God had intended us to be. And that is happy, in joy and sound mind, prosperous and in good health. He raised us up to be a people and a pillar of truth. And tonight I praise Him, oh, for coming down and letting us feel His wonderful presence. I feel a boldness. I feel like looking at you square in the eye tonight. And I'm here to tell you that I love you. And I'm here to feed good things into your life. But sometimes good things don't come in nice packages. And the Word of God isn't always what we want to hear. But you want to build up and be of good character. You want to go out in life and do great things. Get in the Word of God and let it build up your life. And let it show you just how great that it is. Take a challenge in your life today. And hear this Word and let it do something for you. 1 John, 2nd chapter. We're going to read starting at the 15th verse. And while you're getting there, I'll just share with you as I was praying today what God had put on my heart. We need more people that are going to live by the truth. We need more people to live by the truth that will make them free. Live the truth in your life and show it by applying it in your life. How many of us feel like that we're always 100% in the will of God? Of course we're not, because there's always moments where we're tested, right? There's moments where we get out there and we're exposed to this world. We get out and Monday goes around and we go in our routine, and you could be in a public gas station. You could be at your workplace. You could be broke down at the side of the road. Or you could be sitting in your bed, in your bedroom at home. But at some point in time, you're going to be tempted in a way that will draw you away from the will of God. We will be tempted to be drawn away. It might be through depression. It might be through your place of employment. But some way, somehow, we're going to be faced with things to try to pull us away from where God had intended us to stand. God wants us to be in a better place than being depressed all the time. You can praise Him with confidence right now. God had intended us for to be more than just unhappy. He intended for me to not complain about every single thing that goes on in my life. We get out in a place where we're exposed to the world, and eventually those temptations come by and draw us into what? Into things that pull us from God's will. When we get pulled away from God's will, it'll lead us into sin. When we get led into sin and participate in the sin that satisfies our flesh, we get led out into further destruction. Come on and help me preach for a minute. We get led out into further destruction. When you get led out into further destruction, we'll call it as it is. We get more of a worldly appearance about us. We begin to have the attitudes and ideals and opinions and perspectives of the very things that we were brought out of when God saved us by sending Jesus Christ into our life. So many times I could be out of complaint if I would only pray. Sometimes I could rise out of sickness if I would only begin to pray. I could call out on my loved ones and I could see situations begin to change. If I begin to trust God the way that it reads to me, the only way that we're not seeing things as we think that we should is that we don't have the vision that God had intended for us to have. I get out in the world. I get exposed to the world. I get polluted with the garbage of the world. I get polluted with it all the time. You've got continual media exposure on every device that you ever pick up and put before your eyes. If it's not your eyes, it's your ears. If it's not your ears, it's a sense of smell. You can spray things on you to make you smell good to try to attract somebody else. There's many ways to attract the senses to try to give us some kind of worldly appeal. And God brought us out of that to be a different kind of people. God brought us far from that so we're not tempted into sin. We know better than to go out from good Christian solid living and to go out into the world and just simply fail because we choose to. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'll read this next part. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have the provision of the Spirit of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to build us up to be such strong people. And if I do not begin to exercise and work, get in and heed to what God would work and speak and do in my life. It's hard to live life and enjoy it. It's hard to do anything. It's hard to live. You'll try to live and be miserable. You'll go on about your routine that would have normally made you happy and would have lost its savor. It'll lose its ability to entice you. The desires for this world and the lust thereof are going to pass away. That which I used to love, that which I used to long for, that which I used to go after, Brent, since I have came to know Christ, has left me. It has left me, and my desires for that has left me. And in my heart, I know that God has performed that in my life. I know that I'm not the same anymore. And I know that when I go out of here, that my desires for those things are not present. So when I begin to put other things in my life, I know that I'm being tempted into something that's going to lead me to a destruction of my spiritual self. It's going to tear me apart. It's going to tear me up. It's going to literally tear away my ability to be able to praise Him, my ability to be able to obey God, my ability to be able to have a voice in this day that we live in. And as I prayed this day, my heart went out, reaching every one of us. My heart goes out because we have so much time that we spend in the world. We have so much money that we spend on commodities, technologies, luxuries, and we don't have satisfaction. I could plan and plan a vacation with all my income, go on this trip, and if my heart was unsatisfied, I would have no pleasure. When I come into the house of God, and I'm living out in the world in sin in my life, and I'm not in the will of God, I have no joy. My heart is broken, and I need to make a change. And God tonight is calling out unto each and every heart in here and is looking for a change in your life. He's boldly calling you tonight. This isn't something that we can wait on. He is calling with a very quick call tonight. We have no time to waste on this. I don't have any time to waste another breath on this. There's too much out there, even this coming week, that you're going to go back out to, that it's going to overwhelm you. There's too much of the power of evil, evil thoughts, evil imaginations. There are going to be things that's going to entice the lust of your flesh. And you need this tonight. You need to know that you need Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, as the Almighty, as the all in all, as the number one, as the center of how you stand and how you live, so that we do not live and die by the lust of our flesh. We don't need to live that way. If there's anything that's more important than Jesus Christ in our life, there needs to be a transformation. There needs to be a change in our life. Our priorities need to shift. The places that we go need to change. The things that we look at need to change. There is too many present evils about us that are tempting us to fall. You and I know this. We're only one click away, or one button push away, or one text away from failure, one email away from failure, one word away from failure in our life. And we feel like that we can just keep striving and keep going and going and going without calling out on God. This is, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the what? Holy One. And you know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, because ye know it, and that no lies of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. We're getting too much involved in everything outside of here. We got too much going on. Got too wrapped up in everything else that's trying to consume our lives. And I've heard time and time again how we want to draw closer to God and how we want to follow His will in our lives, and prayed about that a little while back. And I said, God, show me how I can be closer to You. And He began to show me things that I needed to lay off. And I was thinking, God, that's not what I asked You for, Lord. I was saying, God, show me a way that I could be closer. God, show me a direction that I could take, that I could come into Your presence. And God began to show me other things that I could do to begin to lay off of me. And I was thinking, God, this is not what I wanted to hear. This is not what I wanted You to speak to me. Lord, these are things that I like. These are things that I love. These are things that I care for. These are things that I've got to have. But Lord, show me, and if it is Your will, I will do it. And again, for the third time, God would show me the same things, and it just kept coming. And Mike, until I laid off these worldly things, laid off the things that God began to speak to me, I didn't begin to feel closer to God. When you begin to lay off the weights that are on top of you, it might be 2 tons of depression, but if you get it off of you tonight, you'll be able to draw closer, because you'll have more strength to rise up closer to the Heavenly Father. Oh, He gave us a promise, oh, to be able to draw unto Him, but we've got to lay off more of what we have in our life. I've got to do a little self-denial. I've got to do a little self-control. I've got to be able to say no when God would direct me. I've got to be able to say yes. God, I'm going to be at Your church, and God, I'm going to praise You in Your service. God, I'm going to use Your prayer. God, I'm going to use Your worship to be able to draw close. God, I'm going to get down and I'm going to testify. Lord, I'm going to dance. Lord, I'm going to get up and praise You. I'm not going to be afraid, because I'm casting off the garments of the world. When I do that, I'm casting off the garments of the world. When I put out things openly before God in expression, God wants some open expressions of love. Love in action is worship. God wants some open expressions of love in action. One of the best ways that you can do that is to fall down and cry out before God, I've never felt closer when I've felt lower than I ever have, when I've acknowledged when I've been wrong, when I finally gave up and told God, I'm done with this. I'm done living this way. God, You take all my sadness. God, You take. I feel so free tonight. God, take all of my sickness. God, take all of this bondage. I don't want it. I don't take it. I don't receive it. I'm going out of here with the power of God. Oh, to be able to be free. The more you lay off of what is out there, Lord, help me with this. You sleep about an average of 6 to 8 hours a day, correct? So you've got about 14 to 16 hours of time that you have to live when you are awake. Tell me that if you spend more than 2 hours a day on the internet, that there's not something wrong with that. Tell me that if we're spending that much time looking at anything that's going to take our mind away from the will of God, that we don't need to change our tune a little bit. Tell me about this. Tell me if I ever look for music to put me on an emotional high, to get me to a place where I'm angry or a place where I'm sad. Tell me if we don't need to throw that out and get it out of our life to where we're able to live and have joy and peace. Tell me that you don't need to get rid of images that would entice your flesh, entice the lust of your eye. Hallelujah. There might be people that look pretty. You need to get rid of it if it's going to entice you. Hallelujah. They're trying to get your attention any other way that they can. There's all kinds of things out there trying to draw the eyes of the people of God, and we've got to turn away. We've got to turn a deaf ear. We've got to lay off the weights that would easily beset us. It's not only the weight of our sin, but it's also the weights of daily life. Don't tell me when you get out there that you're not tempted to go on the internet and make a mistake. Don't tell me that you're not tempted to go out there and go off on somebody just because you can. Don't tell me that you're not tempted to lie. God is raising up a people that's going to live and abide as He would direct them. I told you we weren't getting the milk tonight. God did not raise us up to lie. Did not raise us up to deceive. Did not raise us up to go every day and not pray to Him. God already knows what you've done. Please don't play this game with God. It's a dangerous game. And hell is at the end of this road. It's a dangerous game to play, to go out and chase this world and try to have all the pleasures of it. Yeah, getting drunk might feel nice for a little while. Yeah, you might get high and it might feel nice for a little while, but it only will last for a season. And as the lust of the flesh will last on something a little while, the word of God spoke it. Not Jared telling you, not your granny telling you, but the word of God is telling you tonight that it will pass away unto death. It will lead you to a place you don't want to go, to things that you don't want to do, to a life that you never thought you'd go. I can testify to that. I can testify to that. And by one of the gifts that God has given to us to use, I can say tonight that I was an addict, but an addict no longer I am. Praise to the Heavenly Father above. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today I proclaim, oh, the Holy Ghost is my voice. Hallelujah. My Savior is my King. He's my Father. He's my friend. I need your help, church. Where you at? God's calling. He's my Father. He's my friend. I'm just exhorting right now. This is our time to get in. Can we have about 10 seconds of uninterrupted praises or to the Heavenly Father? Can we just get in for a minute and be able to give Him glory? Are we so proud that we can't give 10 seconds to God? Are we so above Him that we're not able to get low and praise Him? If you're not able to get up and praise God at any given time, then there is too much on you. There is too much on you if you're not able to worship. If you're not able to follow what God would speak into your life, there's too much there. Too much holding you down. He said that His burden was what? It was light. The intention of God is to what? To pick you up, lift you up. When we get out of here, we're going home. And guess what direction we're going? We're going up. Oh, we're going up out of here or to a better place of a promise of eternal life. Tonight, as I was praying, I was saying, Lord, I'm laying off everything. I was laying off everything. God, help me have more patience. Lord, give me more patience. And I just started crying. Normally when we're impatient or frustrated about the trials of life and you call out for more patience, you're thinking, well, I'm obligated to receive this patience, God, because you've tried me through this. Don't you see, Lord, where I am and how much that I suffer? How can I even begin to pray where I am? I know it's hard where we are. It's a tough spot, but it is the will of God. You read it in His Word. It is the will of God for you to be tested. It is the will of God for us to walk through things that are going to challenge us to do greater. It is the will of God to challenge us to step out of our comfort zone. It is the will of God for you to follow the Spirit. Why would He educate us about knowing His voice unless we were going to listen to the voice of God? One of my favorite things about reading some of these, and I'm just going to blow through them. Some of the things that we can use in the Word of God. Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with what? If you serve God, dedicate and commit, then that is one less thing that you have time to go out there and waste on. We can dance around this tonight and you can ignore me if you want to. But at the end of the day, we have a lot of time on our hands sometimes. Even if you have a full-time job. I'm a full-time regular, I know. I'm a full-time regular, and yet I still have times that I'm still tested. Times that I'm still tempted, but yet the anointing of God rises up and shows me the other way to go. Teaches me which direction to take. But if I'm not listening, if I'm not getting down and exercising in prayer, this is important tonight. If we don't exercise in prayer through using the advocate that Jesus provided with His death and sacrifice for us, that access that we have through prayer, if we don't take advantage of that to call out for more strength every day, you're growing weaker by the minute. At my best, I get up and I'll call out in the morning, call out in immediate needs, and it will get me through the day. And then there's sometimes I have those sweet moments with God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. God is wanting you to have some of those intercessory prayers, wanting us to be able to lay off so much of everything. There is no TV show important enough. Oh, one or two cuss words won't hurt me, Jared. I just don't listen to it. Listen, I'm not debating this with you. There is garbage entering into our minds and ears that does not need to be there. And we need to evaluate in our personal lives what is important to us. Doctors tell us every day about our diet. tell us how we need to consume things so that we live a long, fulfilling life. And the Word of God tells us of how that if we stray from sin, that we will be able to be happy, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, self-control, all the things and all those virtues and fruits of the Spirit that we want to get in and come in every week and go after. But you're not going to get it in a praise and worship song in less than 5 minutes. How many of us know that tonight? You're not going to get it just coming in and just getting it off the piggyback of somebody else. You're going to have to get down in your own life and pray and seek God for change in your life and say, Lord, show me what I can do to be closer. Lord, if there's something I need to quit watching, I'll quit watching it. Lord, if there's something, hallelujah, I feel this going out tonight. I feel some strongholds being torn down. Devil, get behind this church. We're going to clean up and sanctify our church. We're going to preach the Word of God as it is laid out to be preached. We want the best for our children, but yet we won't do it for ourselves. That's not how God intended it to be. He didn't want it as I do, as I say, not as I do. He wanted it just to be, serve me and follow my will. And the Word of God says, train them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Now, we release children, probably like age 21, we're ready to boot them out and build a new bedroom or an addition, right? But there's no release limit on training them up in the way they should go. How many of us know that? You can be a mentor and a guide and a spiritual person unto them all the days of your life. There's been some times I heard the words of my mother and it lifted me up. Even when I was out in sin and I'd made it to church that day and I'd hear her testify and what a blessing it was. It brought tears to my eyes. I hadn't been in church in 6 months, but yet the Spirit of God that bore witness in her life that spoke out through her lifted me up. And I thank God. I know that you have to be real. Even at 15, I knew that there was something about God. And even as I grew older, even though that I was of one mindset and grew up under one denomination, God had so much more for my life, and I didn't understand anything. All that I knew was that I was in sin and I was corrupt and I was had so much of the world on me. I couldn't live another day. I literally could not live another day. Destruction was at the end. It had been prophesied. It had been told unto me. I had been warned time and time again. God's word and went forth into me, and it was finally time to make up my mind. And oh, if I had to say anything about it, I'd have to praise Him for the mercy that He showed on me. I'd have to praise Him for showing me grace, and to not thank Him tonight that He's shown you mercy and given you a night to be able to think about and consider how your life needs to begin to change. It's not about having 3 songs, somebody preaching, and you coming up for an altar and praying just so you go back out and feel like that you did the motions. It's about changing your life for the good, that you get out of sin and live your life the way that God wanted you to. He wants you to live a fulfilling life. The only way that you fulfill it is if you put the death out of it, that you put life inside of it, that you live and let live the power of God. Is this good for you tonight? Psalm 145:11-12. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known the sons of his majesty and his mighty acts, glorious majesty of his kingdom. They shall what? They shall talk. They will testify. God has been too good to us for us not to have a burning word to rise up in us. And don't tell me what season that it is that it matters for a testimony. It could snow me in and I couldn't make it to church. Couldn't get my car out of the driveway. But if I needed to hear myself testify, I could speak it. The power of God could come forth. Testimonies are used for you to recall a different point of view. When we go on vacation, let's think about this for a minute. When we live in a mountainous area like this, the mountains, we kind of get used to it and their beauty. We just drive right by and it doesn't matter. And when we all want to go on vacation, 90% of the time, we all want to go where? The beach. Because we think when we get to the ocean, oh, how beautiful that it is to see the ocean, to see the waves. But you talk to people that live right next to the ocean all the time, and 90% of the time when they go on vacation, where do they want to go? To the mountains. They get to a place where they see something that is not the status quo, not what they're used to. And when we're in a place in trials in our life, God gave us testimonies to be able to recall those prior glories. I still remember my honeymoon. I remember how wonderful it was to walk the beaches with my wife. And I know when I testify of God, it's just as beautiful. It's supposed to mean that much. If you have a love for God, you'll have something to talk about.
And if you don't, that's your indicator that something is holding you down. You're being caught up in the exposure of everything that you're doing outside of here. Your life needs to be centered upon Christ. And if you get to a place where you need to be lifted up, look to that beautiful view. Remember your mountains where you stood. Remind yourself of the good times where God has been with you. And know that He will stir your heart. Peter, I believe, said it like this, and he was there to purpose to stir them. Stir the gifts in their life. Because there's a reason we stir that in our lives. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. And our praise is what? Comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God understands it all. He understands where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through right now. All you've got to do tonight is come unto the Father. Come unto the Savior. It says the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God. So what does singing have to do with anything? Oh, it soothes your soul. Oh, it lifts you up. Oh, I don't get up here to waste your time. Come up here as a choir and we think we just want to do our best, but ultimately we miss it because we're missing the purpose of the song. Let me remind us tonight that it's not of the sound or the quality of the rhythm of the beat that they carry in. You're missing the whole point of the song if you're not digging into the part that comes from the heart. God can begin to minister into your life in such a way. It may be a fast one, it may be a slow one, but get in there to that part that ministers to you. And if you don't feel like that's for you, begin to pray for your choir. Pray that the anointing fall down. I'm going to hand you some meat. Are you ready? Pray that the anointing fall down, and we won't have to sing as many songs for the anointing to fall down. Pray and begin to support. Come together. Unity. It's the same thing with preaching. Man, I love to hear the support of the people. Because it's not about lifting up anybody, but it's about getting a hold of that word that's coming out into your life and saying, God, I'm getting it. Lord, I'm receiving it. God, you're lifting me up and I'm laying it off. There's so much in here that you can begin to read. Luke 6:38, and it says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together, running over shall men give it to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Benevolence, giving. What do you have to give tonight? If you came here in a good place with God, God brought you here to give. Uh-oh. We ready for another piece of meat? I'm giving it out for free tonight. If you are in a place where you are not broken or empty or sad or depressed, and you're on the mountain as God gives it to you, you are supposed to give it to others. To hold it in or hold it back is to hear the parable of the talents. Where when we hold it in the ground and hide what God has given us, it does us more harm to hold it back than it does to go and do the work that God has given. It is far greater worth. Listen, there was one that was given one given another, and one given another measure. But everybody has a different amount of measures because people have came through different trials in their life. You've not went through drug addiction maybe like I have. So you perhaps don't have the same measures that I do to work in with God, but you still have a measure to work in. The number of measures is irrelevant. What matters is that you use the measure that God has given you. Oh Lord, I couldn't imagine to see a church that would use their measure. I couldn't imagine to see a day when God's people would rise up. We'd see addicts restored. We'd see them set free. We'd see sick healed. Because the word of God is not a lie. That's what we read in the beginning. It's not a lie. And then you read before that, judge not, verse 37, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You know, giving forgiveness is one of the best things that we can give. Giving love is also great. But you know, when Jesus gave his life, he gave that in forgiveness to our sins. The best gift of all. I go to that cross every day of my life because I get up and I realize I'm free from what I was.
Do we know that each and every time we get up? Sometimes we forget because we're consumed in where we are. The exposure of what we see, the smells of what we smell, or what we hear people tell us. But do not be persuaded by what the devil would tell you. Do not be persuaded by what you would hear. Cling unto the promises of God and see yourself through to the end of the trial. And let the word of God come alive into truth in your life. Begin to build yourself up to do better things than just complain, than just come in and go through the motions. I couldn't imagine, I'm giving you another piece, just a warning. I couldn't imagine a life of just coming into church and not operating in my gift, and coming into church and being continually disobedient, and coming into church and never praying, and trying to actually enjoy church. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible to be in your flesh and please God. We've got to dig down inside of our heart and do something better than that. We've got to do a little more work outside of hearing prayer and reading and praying and digging into what God wants us to do. No wonder nobody wants to come to church sometimes. It's just, oh, Lord, it's Friday again. I don't know if I can deal with another one. Well, what have you done to be able to draw God into your life? And sometimes it feels like it's such a press just to get into the presence of God. Here comes another piece of meat. Hallelujah. If we don't learn to get in the presence of God before we come in here, it's hard for people that has been laboring and toiling and praying to be able to usher in God and to be able to bring down the strongholds for 100 people. It's time that we as saints of God realize the power that we have in our life and be empowered by the Holy Ghost and come in here with a boldness. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to come in one day just singing a song. I'm looking for somebody to not worry about being able to wait till it's church time to bust a song out, but to be led, hallelujah, by the Spirit so that you're able all to do what the Spirit would tell you to do. Shake it up a little bit. Be free in your life. I don't have much of my life left to live. I wasted the first part of it because I didn't listen to what God would lead me to live. But now that I've come to the fullness of His truth, I'm doing all that I can to lead people into a life of happiness and joy. I want to share one more scripture with you, and I really feel led to give an altar call. And I feel that I got to do this quickly as I read this. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and it says, "If any man will come after me," this is what Jesus said tonight, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." How do you save something when you feel at a loss? Because when you lay off the things that was destroying you, you have more life than you would have had if you had lived in that present destruction. You'll have more life if you lay off depression than you would if you try to endure it. You'll have more life if you lay off the things that are afflicting your body. Not everything that we put in our body is good. Not everything that we consume is good. Not everything that we're told to consume is good. God wants us to be able to get that understanding. Wants us to go forward in that. This is just God calling you out to a deeper walk, a deeper anointing, a stronger life. God has called you for greater things than that. God is calling for each and every one of us to a greater, deeper walk in Him. And He doesn't want us to be afraid. Doesn't want us to be ashamed to say that I need help. I need prayer. When you show sincerity in the moment, and as God has given you this word tonight, hallelujah, there is great peril when we stray from what God is trying to lead us into. God is saying, don't run to destruction. If we go out and don't heed to the word of God, I cannot guarantee it. That destruction will not find you. I cannot guarantee the promise of tomorrow. And the word of God says we have no promise of tomorrow. But if you make up your mind, God will change your life.